You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Australian Open on In Play Radio.
Welcome along to William Hill's Tennis Podcast. We're down to the semi-finals at the 2016 Australian Open and a chance to land the first Grand Slam of the year for the four players remaining in both sides of the draw. We'll be looking ahead to all the matches in detail on this edition of the podcast. Sam Norris here, and joining me to look ahead to the betting in all of the semi-finals is Dave Kellner. How are you, DK?
I'm very well, thank you. Sam, we've got four tasty ones, I think, both on the women's side with the added spice of Johanna Konta being involved, and on the men's side, Andy Murray has made it through to yet another semi-final in the men's Australian Open, and we've got that enticing clash between Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer on the horizon. I've enjoyed this tournament and looking forward to these semis.
Yeah, some great semi-finals to come. Have you been burning the midnight oil watching these, or has it been a replay the next day job?
It's been a replay the next day job. It's sometimes not even been a replay the next day job. It's occasionally been a read the report of the match job, but I will watch the 2:30 matches, Djokovic versus Federer and Murray versus Raonic. I'm looking forward to those a lot, and I think they're just two intriguing clashes as well. So I'll definitely be up for those at 8:30.
Yeah, you've got to be pretty keen and pretty committed to watch some of those first round games at 3:04 in the morning. Let's get stuck into the women's side of things. First of all, we'll start with Serena Williams taking on Anjeska Radwanska. It's 1-6 about Williams. Radwanska is 9-2 in the betting. I was amazed pre-tournament that you could get as big as 11-4 about Serena Williams, and I was questioning at the time. I thought maybe there's a little bit, if there's something up with her well-being for her to be that price, but she's not really disappointed so far.
I think it's because she hadn't played for such a long time. Taking that big break between the US Open and the Australian Open means that a lot of people were maybe questioning, first of all, her commitment, and secondly, fitness. But she's looked incredible this week, or these 2 weeks so far. Has got to this stage, the semi-final once again at the Australian Open, hasn't dropped a set yet. She's had a charmed run, it has to be said. Camelia Giorgi in the first round and Maria Sharapova in the quarterfinal, who has just been her bunny throughout the course of the years. She's dismantled Sharapova on numerous occasions and beat her 6-4, 6-1. Agnieszka Radwanska again. With Radwanska, it's been a pretty routine path through to the semi-final so far. Came up against Christina McHale in the first round. Eugenie Bouchard, who's not shown her best form since getting to the final at Wimbledon in 2014. And that quarterfinal against Carla Suarez-Navarro. Carla Suarez-Navarro is a much better player on the clay. Even though she's ranked 11th in the world, the Spaniard, on the hard court, you'd see that as a pretty easy task for Agnieszka Radwanska. Sets up this date against Serena Williams. You look at the head-to-heads and you see that Serena Williams has won all eight of their main WTA Tour meetings. However, that doesn't include the Hopman Cup. Radwanska beat Serena Williams in the Hopman Cup final last year, so that may give her a slight glimmer of hope in this match and maybe give her a little bit of confidence going into this matchup. But Serena Williams, age seems to be no barrier at the moment. You look at her form in the slams last year, winner in Australia, winner in the French, winner in Wimbledon, and inexplicably was beaten by Roberta Vinci in the US Open semi-final last year. My one reservation with Serena, because a lot of people are going to be just piling into that 1-2 Serena Williams to win two sets to love, Sam. My one reservation is that she usually has a hump match, one that she's just got to get over. It doesn't happen in the final. She's usually incredible in these slam finals. But in semi-final matches, we mentioned that one against Roberta Vinci where she went into that as a 1-20 favourite, won the first set. She was 1-200, 1-100, whatever you want for her to win that match. And Vinci had drifted to 25-33-1 and lost those second and third sets, both 6-4. And even in the Canadian Masters, back end of last year, Belinda Bencic, she went into that match as a 1-2-10 favourite and was beaten in that match. So in two of her last four semi-final matches, she's lost them. And you go back further last year against Petra Kvitova, she was around about a 1-4, 1-5 shot in the event on the clay, got beaten in that semi-final. She does have hump matches, Serena Williams, and that's my one concern. If you're thinking about backing her to win 2-0 at 1-2, which I think many people will steam into that, that's a notable concern to me.
Okay. In that case, how do you bet it? How do you extract the value out of the game?
You know what? I quite like Radvanska plus 5.5 games. I think the first set might be close. And it's 19-20 on the game handicap betting, plus 5.5, Agnieszka Radvanska. The way Radvanska approached that game in the Hopman Cup, she was aggressive from the outset. And I can see her trying to unsettle Serena and hope that Serena has one of those off days where she makes a lot of unforced errors. It has happened in the past with Serena Williams, and Radvanska can kind of just get her unbalanced a little bit. And Serena Williams, in that game against Roberta Vinci, another player that can change the pace of the ball, she sometimes struggles to get into a rhythm when that happens. Radvanska can definitely do that. I see Radvanska being aggressive early on in this match, and I like Radvanska plus 5.5, so not to get completely blown out of the water against Serena Williams. And if you're looking for something, a massive price here, I like lose first set, win the match, that market. Serena Williams is 21-4 in that market, so that's over 5-1. I think if Radvanska is going to do damage, it's going to be early on in this match before Serena Williams has chance to settle. One note, and this comes from a sports betting writer called Sean Calvert, who does some pieces on the tennis. I love his pieces as well. He's got a couple of great stats about Serena Williams. When she is between 1-5 and 1-10 as a favourite in a tennis match, her career record is 93 wins, 11 losses. You break that down into slams when she's between 1-5 and 1-10 to win, as she is on this occasion at 1-6. She's 28-1. She's won 28 and lost just one. That loss came against Katerina Srebotnik back in the 2008 French Open. So the odds are definitely against Radvanska. The stats are definitely against Radvanska. But I believe that if she can get Serena Williams unbalanced, and Serena does have to have a little bit of an off day, she can pressurise her, and that game handicap I like, plus 5.5 at 19-20. I'd also have a look at over 5-1, Serena Williams to lose the first set, but come back and win the match.
Okay, plenty of interesting selections there for Dave then in the first women's semi. We'll move on to the second semi-final now in the women's side of the draw. This is Angelique Kerber taking on the British, in inverted commas, hope, Johanna Konta. It's 1-3 for Kerber. Konta is 5-2. Very often in these tournaments, DK, we talk about the patriotic pound. I think Konta, has she got three passports?
I think she could have.
I think I've read that.
This is what I was joking on InPlay Radio on Tuesday night about Johanna Konta being British or being Australian or whatever. And someone tweeted in to say, as long as we're winning money from her, you couldn't care whether she's from Timbuktu or not. And I think it doesn't matter where her citizenship lies at the moment. And she is a British, a United Kingdom citizen. And it's good to see her fulfilling that promise as well. She's 5-2 to win this match. I actually think that's quite skinny. I think Angelique Kerber will win this. My reservation I've got with Johanna Konta is she's so inexperienced at top-level tennis. She's only had 8 matches. This, again, comes from Sean Calvert. Only had 8 matches against players in the top 10 in her career. And you look at her performances in slams in the past. This is the first time she's come through qualifying in the Australian Open. So to reach the semi-finals at this stage in the competition is absolutely exceptional. Angelique Kerber's got a big game. I don't think quite fulfilled her promise in her career, Angelique Kerber, because when you were thinking about Angelique Kerber in the early days of her career, you could see that immense promise and talent there. But she's 28 years old, And she didn't really, having reached semi-finals in 2011 at the US Open, 2012 at Wimbledon, you thought it was going to be the next year she broke through and got to the final of a slam and maybe even won one. But it didn't materialise. Her best performance in slams subsequently was reaching the quarterfinal in Wimbledon in 2014. The thing Konta's got going for her is that Kerber's a big lefty, and Konta's already beaten one of those in Ekaterina Makarova early on in the event. But Kerber's a different quality of player to Makarova. She's ranked 6th in the world, and I actually fancy Kerber to win this in straight sets at 10-11. I think Konta will try and dominate the points. She's got a huge serve and she's got huge ground strokes, but I think Kerber will be able to combat that. And Kerber's performance against Victoria Azarenka in the quarterfinal. Remember, Azarenka's form at this event is exceptional. This is her favourite Grand Slam, as far as the stats are concerned, anyway. For Kerber to beat her 6-3, 7-5, Azarenka had demolished players up until that point. I think that's a watershed moment for the German, Angelique Kerber. I've always expected her to win a Grand Slam, and I think she'll get through to the final to face either Agnieszka Radwanska or, in all likelihood, Serena Williams. But I like Angelique Kerber to win this 2-0 at 10-11. Konta will try and dominate the points. I think Kerber will counterpunch successfully in this matchup.
Okay, another straight sets victory then for Kerber is the pick for DK in the second women's semi-final. Let's move on to the men's now, and we start with Novak Djokovic taking on Roger Federer in a real mouth-watering affair. Djokovic is 1-3 here. Roger Federer priced up at 5-2. Federer seems to be rolling back the years. I mean, he's 34 years of age now, DK. He's only dropped one set in this entire tournament. Mm. Comes up against Djokovic, who we know is an absolute superb player, but did drop two sets against Gilles Simon. Is the 1-3 a little bit rude on Roger Federer? He has won this event 4 times. I know Djokovic has got 5, but
yeah,
9 Australian Opens between them. Should there be that much of a discrepancy?
I'm not sure. I think it's just difficult to oppose Novak Djokovic because even though he did have the wobble against Gilles Simon, he still came through in that match. And we saw him a couple of years ago, I think it was at the Australian Open, have a similar wobble against Stan Wawrinka. And you're thinking, maybe he's susceptible here. And then he performs like he did against Kai Nishikori. Nishikori was, I believe, suffering with a slight niggle. The injuries have plagued Nishikori's career so far. And Djokovic wiped the floor with him in straight sets. So quickly put to bed the idea that maybe he's vulnerable in this event, having been taken the distance by Gilles Simon. Made 100 unforced errors against Gilles Simon in that match, which was just unbelievable. But Djokovic, he is almost unbeatable at this event. The last time he failed was when he was knocked out in the quarterfinal stages of the 2014 Australian Open. And that was, at the time, a really big surprise, in all honesty. He has got those 5 titles, as you've already mentioned. I find it difficult to oppose him. That 5-setter was against Stan Wawrinka. Stan Wawrinka beat him in 5 back in 2014 and went on to win the title on that occasion. But apart from that, he's been unstoppable at this event. Winner 4 of the last 5 years. Winner of 3 of the 4 slams last year. Only beaten in the final of the French. Can you take on Novak Djokovic? I'm not sure you can. I think Federer, you make a good point about him rolling back the years at 34, and he's decided to play what he likes to call fun tennis at the moment. And he's only out there because he still thinks, Sam, that he can compete at the highest level. And we've seen this week that he definitely can. Came past Thomas Burdick in the previous round, Novak Djokovic winning in straight sets. I think what Federer's got to do here is play very aggressively from the outset, and that's what he'll do. He's started to attack the more in the net more in the last couple of years. That's worked well for him, but against Djokovic, he's coming up against the best returner, the best scrambler the game's ever seen, and their head-to-heads amazingly coming into this one read 22 apiece. Wow. So they've played each other 44 times, and as Djokovic said in a recent press conference, he feels like half his matches in his entire career have either been against Federer or against Rafael Nadal. That's the way his career's materialised. it's an intriguing one because Federer's beaten Djokovic recently in the round robin stages of the ATP World Tour Finals at the back end of last year, but then Djokovic gained revenge in the final, the match that really mattered in that event. And the last three meetings in Grand Slam finals, Djokovic has been able to take care of Roger Federer, beat him in the final of the US Open in four sets, beat him in the final of Wimbledon last year in four sets again. And prior to that, their previous meeting was the final of Wimbledon once again in 2014. And Novak Djokovic beat him in five sets. So he's had the edge in recent Grand Slam meetings, and that's what's important in this matchup. Both these guys not bothered about regular main tour events, even are you talking Masters 1000 or ATP World Tour Finals. It boils down to Roger Federer wanting to win another Grand Slam, having not won one for quite a period of time now. He's not won since Wimbledon 2012. He still believes he can do it, but this is a bridge too far for Federer, in my opinion. I like the January enhanced odds offer here, bet up to £30, Djokovic to win, both players to win a set in the market at 6-4, but I think Djokovic wins this 3-1. I give Federer a set at 11-4, but Djokovic comes back. And again, in a similar theme to the Williams match that we mentioned, I'd be looking at, I'm not sure this market is available just yet, but for Djokovic to lose the first set and come back and win the match. I like that if that's a decent price, but I'll go Djokovic 3-1 in this match, and I think 11-4 on Djokovic to win 3-1 is a decent price just on the threes.
Okay, then DK siding with the Serb Novak Djokovic to take that first men's semi-final. Let's move on to the second semi now in the men's side of the draw. This is Milos Raonic taking on Andy Murray. 23-10 for Raonic and 4-11 about Andy Murray. Andy Murray will have been expecting to face Stan Wawrinka at this stage, DK, but Raonic put him out in good fashion. He's been getting pretty good write-ups throughout the tournament, Raonic. We know he's got that big serve to his game, but he's added lots of other weapons to his game now. But to be fair to Murray, we have seen that he can deal with the big servers. Took out Sangroth in this tournament, who is the big, I think, has he got the record for the fastest serve, Sangroth?
Yeah, he loves this sort of matchup, yeah. Murray. I was surprised when coming to look at this match that Raonic has actually beaten him four times in his career. I mean, these two guys have met eight times on tour, and they're four apiece. So Raonic actually has a decent record against Andy Murray historically. But over five sets, I don't know if Milos Raonic can keep up that serving level, returning level, and movement, I think, is important here. Andy Murray will work Milos Raonic around the court. Raonic's big weakness still, in my opinion, is his movement. And I'm not talking about side-to-side movement here. I'm talking forwards and backwards. And that's where I think Murray will... I expect him to utilise the drop shot a lot in this. And I know people have been critical of Andy Murray's use of the drop shot in the overuse of the drop shot in the past. It could be a work to his advantage in this matchup. Last couple of times they've met, by the way, Murray's come out on top in the Madrid Masters quarterfinal stage early part of last year. Murray won in straight set 6-4, 7-5. ATP World Tour Finals in that Group B round robin match back end of last year, Murray won 6-3, 7-5. Only Grand Slam meeting came back in 2012, so I don't think you can read too much into that. Murray beat him in straight set 6-4, 6-4, 6-2. Raonic has been very impressive, though. He seems to have entered this season with a renewed vigour and a better game, in fact, because that win in Brisbane will have given him a heck of a lot of confidence coming in here to beat Roger Federer in a final of a decent event. 6-4, 6-4 was very good. And that key victory this week against Stanislas Wawrinka, winning in five sets and took out Gael Monfils, as I think a lot of people expected him to, in four sets. I expect Murray to have a huge season this season. I think with the impending birth of his first child, we saw how that spurred Novak Djokovic on in his career when his wife had their first baby. And winning the Davis Cup was a huge factor in Novak Djokovic and his progression in his career. I think that might work the same way for Andy Murray. So I think he'll have a massive year, Murray, and I think he'll win this match. I think he'll win it in four sets. I like Andy Murray 3-1 at 11-4. And I like the match result of both players to win a set. Andy Murray at 6-4. I give Ryanich a squeak. I'm hoping Murray and his second serve hold up. That might come under scrutiny. I can see Ryanich looking to pounce on that second serve. But Murray, having come through against David Ferrer in four in the previous round, having beaten Zhao Souza already in the tournament in four sets, I think he comes through this one in four, 11-4.
Okay, Andy Murray to win in four sets then is the play at 11-4. If you wanted to play all of DK's selections there in a fourfold, the fourfold pays 51-1. That's Radvanska plus 5.5 games at 19-20. Angelique Kerber to win in straight sets at 10-11. And 3-1 Djokovic and 3-1 Andy Murray, both at 11-4. You've got the Yankees, the lucky 15s, the doubles and trebles, a whole host of different ways to play it. Is that worth a pound of someone's hard-earned, DK?
No. Yeah, I would have my favourite bets there are probably the two bets on the men's side, in fact, at good prices. 11-4, Djokovic to win 3-1. 11-4, Murray to win 3-1. I think if you play both of those, you'll get paid out on one, if not both.
Yeah. Okay, the double there for just those two correct scores is 13-1 instantly. Thank you very much for joining me on this edition of the podcast, Dave, and I hope you enjoyed the semis of the Australian Open.
Thank you, Mr. Norris.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.